Pick these. I don't know what other people think of these movies, really. You know, I just know that streaming, and you know, I gave it a rewatch before recording, and I was like, yeah, well, you know, I'll do this one, Christmas with the Cranks, back to back, Tim Allen, right? Yeah. Goofy, Dan Aykroyd, Jamie Lee Curtis, you know. It's based off a John Grisham novel. I mean, how'd I know what the critics thought of this movie before I chose to do an episode, you know? I don't check anything. I know, I'm lazy, and, you know, it's a busy month, December, and I just, you know, okay, I'll do a Christmas with the Cranks. Okay, let's watch it. Okay, it's goofy, you know, it's fun, you know, it's cranky people who don't want Christmas, and, you know, it's fine, right? It's on Netflix. But apparently, it is like one of the most hated movies of all time. Apparently. I guess I didn't know that. The critics' consensus is a, quote, mirthless movie as fresh as last year's fruitcake. Christmas with the Cranks is a coarse, garish comedy that promotes conformity. Huh. So we do a lot of the tomato meter stuff, right? Which is the professional review scores, the count. This one, 132 reviews, the average of that. And a lot of the movies we do, you know, like 50%, you know, that's a bad movie. And then 65 is still good. We see some 75s. For reference, the 1967 Grinch Who Stole Christmas is 100%. Tomato meter, 100%. Greatest Christmas movie of all time, according to the professionals. And this movie has a 5%. Just a 5. Audience score of 37%. So this could be bad. This could be a train wreck waiting to happen. It really could. So let's get into a segment we like to call
Rotten Reviews.
I really focused on the pluralization too much, I think, in that audio. Reviews. Let's get into it. Behind the Lens, quote, "We loved him as Santa. We loved her as the hooker with a heart. We love Christmas. After seeing Christmas with the Cranks, all I can say is, put me in one cranky mood for the holidays over such a waste of talent." Wow. Film Frenzy, quote, "Forget the 12 days of Christmas. There are at least 12,000 ways that 2004's fascistic Christmas with the Cranks earns the honor as the worst Yuletide film ever made." Yuletide again. I thought we were done with that last episode. Yesterday. These are all ones, by the way. So like 1 out of 5, 1 out of 4. The next one's 1 out of 5. Common Sense Media, quote, unoriginal, unfunny, slapstick holiday fare. Film 4, quote, Christmas with the Cranks is the sort of film that leaves you thinking Ebenezer Scrooge might have had the right idea about the festive season. Cinema Craze, quote, a grueling experience. Urban Cinephile, quote, the notion of bullying people into succumbing into the trappings of Christmas does not necessarily represent goodwill to all. And while the situations present good comic opportunities, the film ends up feeling rather manipulative and sugary. Ellsworth American, quote, some pathetically predictable plot twists and syrupy sentimentality, which could only amuse a five-year-old, led the Cranks back to their materialistic senses in time for a Kodak moment, which shouts a rather shallow, merry capitalism to all. 0 out of 4. 0. Because, okay. Not going to get into that. WBAI Web Radio, quote, a more sweet than sour satire that sets its sight on nasty but lavishly honey-coated underpinnings of the holiday season. Chicago Reader, quote, in any normal year, this dire comedy would be the undisputed lump of coal in our psychic stocking, but coming on the heels of Surviving Christmas, it's a close second. Should I do Surviving Christmas? Because even I don't like that movie. Combustible Celluloid, quote, there is not a single lifelike character in the entire picture. Empire Magazine, quote, comedy so broad it barely dents its targets, and a patronizing moral conclusion that goes against everything its protagonist originally stood for. 1 out of 5. AV Club, quote, this isn't A Wonderful Life. It looks pretty hellish. Real Times, quote, real with two E's, you know, like a film reel, quote, what better way is there to get into a festive spirit than having it crammed down your throat? All right. Freeze-dried movies, quote, almost had me convinced to convert to Judaism to avoid having to go through anything ever again that even remotely resembles this movie. MovieFreak.com, quote, Curtis is easily the most talented actress of her generation to never garner an Oscar nomination. Unfortunately, if all she keeps doing is gifting trash like this with her presence, then that's the way it will always be. Arkansas Democrat Gazette, quote, humbug. American families deserve a better effort than this. Well, let's move on to the segment we like to call
Reviews by People Who Went to School So They Could Watch Movies for a Living.
That one comes off the most alien-ish, you know, that one. There's not a lot of positive things to say, apparently. There's only really one from MovieWeb who gave it a 3 out of 5, which in my world is not passing. Depends on if you went to college prep school or not. Quote, it is a perfectly fine, inoffensive family comedy. And that, unfortunately, folks, is about the only thing I could find. that's a 3 out of 5. So, not sure what to tell you. I think we should just move on to the next segment, which we like to call
The Longest Review Ever.
That one's definitely the cutest. I mean, it's me, so it's not like now I'm calling myself cute. All right, so this one actually comes from Roger Ebert, the man himself, with the longest review ever. Quote, Christmas with the Cranks doesn't have anything wrong with it that couldn't be fixed by adding Ebenezer Scrooge and Bad Santa to the cast. It's a holiday movie of stunning awfulness that gets even worse when it turns gooey at the end. And what is it finally so happy about? Why that the Cranks' neighbor succeeded in enforcing their lockstep conformity upon them. They form a herd mentality without the mentality. The movie is not funny, ever, in any way, beginning to end. It's a colossal miscalculation. Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis star as Luther and Nora Crank, who live in a Chicago suburb with their daughter, Blair. Julie is going to Peru in the... He messed up. Blair, he named the character the actor. Way to go. Can't fix it now. Came out in 2004. Okay. Blair is going to Peru in the Peace Corps. So this will be their first Christmas without her. And Luther suggests that instead of spending $6,000 on Christmas, he and Nora spend $3,000 on a Caribbean cruise. Sounds reasonable to me, but perhaps you're wondering how a couple with one child and no other apparent relatives on either side of the family spend $6,000 on Christmas. The answer is they decorate. Their street coordinates a Christmas display every year, in which neighbors compete to hang the most lights from their eaves and clutter the lawn with secular symbolism. Everyone has Frosty on the rooftop. When the word gets around that the Cranks are taking a year off, the neighborhood posse gets a... Their leader is Vic Freudmeier. I made him way more German than it probably is. Who leads a delegation to berate them. Before long, pickets are on the front lawn chanting Free Frosty, and the local paper writes a story about the only house on the block that's keeping Frosty in the basement. As a satire against neighborhood conformity, Christmas with the Cranks might have found a way to be entertaining. But no. The reasonable Cranks are pounded down by the neighbors, and then their daughter decides, after having been away only about 2 weeks, to fly home for Christmas with her new Peruvian fiancé. So the Cranks, of course, must have their traditional Christmas Eve party after all, and the third act consists of all the neighbors pitching in to decorate the house, prepare the food and decorations, etc., and a display of self-righteous cooperation that is supposed to be merry, but frankly, is a little scary. Here's an idea. Why don't the Cranks meet Blair, who is actually not Blair. You know what I mean? Like, he keeps doing this. Like, is it Blair or Julie? You called her Julie earlier. Sorry. The man knows what he's doing. I'm not going to keep making fun of that. Here's an idea. Why don't the Cranks meet Blair and her fiancé in Miami and go on the cruise together? Ding, ding, ding. The movie's complete lack of a sense of humor is proven by its inability to see that the Cranks are reasonable people and the neighbors are monstrous. What it affirms is not the Christmas spirit, but the Cranks caving in. What is the movie really about? I think it might play as a veiled threat against nonconformists who don't want to go along with the majority opinion of their community. What used to be known as American individualism is now interpreted as ominous. We're supposed to think there's something wrong with the Cranks. The buried message is, go along and follow the lead of the most obnoxious loudmouth on the block. End quote. Now, as the most obnoxious loudmouth on the block in my neighborhood, we have a very diverse community. And we decorate our home quite powerfully for Christmas. And I would say every other house, maybe, if that, has some sort of decoration. In no way is it a competition. But there is a neighborhood, a small cul-de-sac up the road a bit, who do something similar to what we see in this film. They work as a team. And the movie isn't about conforming. They just don't want to do it, right? Because they're not going to be in town. I've been out of town on a holiday. And, you know, I can see where this is coming from. And actually, I think it was a cruise. Maybe not the Caribbean. I think it was Bermuda, but so anyway, people, I mean, the movie, I don't know why everybody's negative review is dealing with, you know, conforming or, you know, giving in to bullies in a way, because it's just, it's supposed to just be nonsensical, and Mr. Ebert mentions the lack of humor. There's actually a lot of lack of humor in your review. You need to watch movies sometimes in a totally different scope than the way you're viewing them. And I think that was a big mistake on his part. And all these people's part. Because it's just a silly movie. And it's supposed to be silly. And if you can't have a good time just watching a silly old movie with unrealistic characters and situations, then maybe you shouldn't be reviewing movies for a living, you know? Because it's not the perfect movie, okay? It's not great. It's silly. And, you know, you had to ask a question like, why so serious in all of these reviews? Because sometimes a silly movie is just a silly movie. And this is one of them. So, get over yourself. Good gaming. Good streaming. Good night.